I understand that just preaching from the Word of God and letting it do the work does not attract a crowd. I get this. But as I've scoured Scripture, from the book of table of contents to the book of maps, I don't see anywhere where God is commanding me to attract a crowd. He's commanding me to be faithful and obedient regardless of the cost. And that's what he's commanding you to do as well.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. Let's take our Bibles together right now, and let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, looking at verse 14, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, Unity Will Cost Me Dearly.
But the second key I want you to write down as well dovetails beautifully off of that, and it simply is this. You will never have true peace with man unless you first have peace with Jesus, period. Let me say that again. You will never have true peace with man unless you first have peace with Jesus. We are living in divided times, unprecedented in my opinion, that you see what's going on, whether it be, again, racial, economic. We are divided. We are segregated like I have never seen in my lifetime. And yet the reality is this. The reality, I believe, is that the only way we will stop shedding literal and metaphorical blood is to be truly washed in the most precious blood that was ever shed. That the blinders will not be removed unless we have truly understood what Jesus did on our behalf, whether we are a Jew or a Gentile, that he came through his blood, through his righteousness. He said, look, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give my life so that you might live. I'm going to die the death that you should have died. I've even heard people say, man, I wish Jesus would do something for me. Have you lost your ever-loving mind? You wish Jesus would do something for you. That's utter foolishness and selfishness because he took your place and was brutally slaughtered on a cruel Roman cross so that you might live. What more could he do? The answer to exterminating racism, it's not more education, nor having more rallies, nor electing a certain president to live in the White House. The answer to exterminating racism has been, is, and forever will be Jesus. That's it. That will exterminate racism. And when you got people on both sides of the aisle claiming to live for Jesus, but yet assaulting a brother because of his color of skin, I don't care what you profess to know about Jesus, you better go back and check your salvation. Because if it's real, there will not be a racist bone in your body. And that goes both ways. Never allow someone doing something evil to you to justify you in turn doing evil to someone else. Don't rationalize. No. It was horrific, it was demonic, it was bad, but don't ever fall into the trap of, well, because that happened to me, I'm going to go get them. That's not what the blood of Jesus is about. The blood of Jesus is to cleanse and to reconcile and to bring us into right standing. And we no longer have to be far off, that we were no longer condemned, but we have through the substitutionary atonement. Do you guys understand what the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ is? That he literally, as I stated earlier, he took your place. And by the way, being in Jesus is not just going to church on Sunday. It's not raising a hand, saying a prayer, walking an aisle, getting wet, doing a cartwheel. Coming to Jesus Christ is when you've died to self. It's no longer I, but Christ, but it's Christ that lives completely in me. People aren't confused, they're deceived. And you're deceived when you're not washed in the blood. You're deceived when you're not under God's words. You're deceived when you got smooth knees and you don't have callous knees. You're deceived when you got a bunch of religion. There isn't any relationship. Write these verses down here in the second section here. Verse 15 and 16 matter. Just look at that. That really is kind of the springboard here. Verse 15 and 16 of chapter 2. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is in the law of commandments contained in ordinances, the old law, the rules, the regulation, so as to create in himself, here it is, one new man from the two, thus making the peace. And that he might reconcile, literally in the original, it means this, to bring back to its original state. You may be here today and maybe your wife and you need to reconcile. What we're really saying is you guys need to come back to your original state, that harmony, that unity, that maybe you're living in sin today, you're a guy, and whatever the addiction may be or the sin, you need to be reconciled back to God. And the only way that will happen, you cannot circumvent Jesus, you have to go through him. And just like we watched on that video, it's painful, isn't it, guys? Man, God gets out that chisel, but it's loving, isn't it? It's a loving chisel that he chips away at me, and he chips away my pride, and he chips away my bitterness and my anger and my lust and whatever it might be. He's chipping away, not because he wants to harm me, but because he loves me. Reconcile, to bring back them both to God in one body through what? The cross. And I love this. Therefore, putting to death the enmity forever. You know what enmity is, don't you? Hostility. This should hopefully just give you a great visual. If we are outside the blood of Jesus Christ, we are an enemy of God, period. There's no like holding tank. Okay, I'm outside the blood, I'm not an enemy, I'm just kind of waffling. No, there's no waffles in heaven. You know what I mean? This is all about you are either in Christ or you're an enemy. He who is with me sows, and he who's not scatters, amen? We are either working towards Christ and with Christ, or as was said, working away from him and against him. And I know this, it is possible to go to church every Sunday of your life and work against God. If you really want oneness with your brother next to you, the only way that oneness will happen is through the blood of Jesus, period. John 14, 6, you guys know this one. You probably have that on the coffee mug or somewhere. Jesus said to them, I am what? Say it with me, the way, the truth, and the life. Have you ever noticed that's a definite article? Have you guys ever noticed that? I mean, he didn't say, I'm a way, I'm a truth, I'm a life, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no one what? No one comes to the Father but what? Through me. That's right. I actually was meeting with a national organization, this was about a year ago, and they were looking to potentially partner together, and this was an organization, if I told you what it was, you'd be like, okay, yeah. And we were dialogued, and we talked for quite a while over a series of weeks, and it came to one point, though, where we knew this was not going to be a good marriage, because they looked at me and they said this, we like what you're doing, but you're going to need to come up with different words besides sin and repentance. Okay? So if we're going to take out sin and repentance, then we also have to remove grace and holiness. I get this. I understand that just preaching from the Word of God and letting it do the work does not attract a crowd. I get this. I'm cool. But as I've scoured Scripture, from the book of table of contents to the book of maps, I don't see anywhere where God is commanding me to attract a crowd. He's commanding me to be faithful and obedient regardless of the cost. And that's what he's commanding you to do as well. How do we have oneness, guys? I'm even praying right now as I'm talking. God, will you raise up one guy from this group today? Just one. One guy who will understand this concept that every fire that's ever been started, started with one singular spark. I wonder, maybe that's you. I wonder if God is speaking to your heart today and he's saying, I want to use you. Not because you're talented, not because you have all the accolades. I want to use you. I want to make a difference in your life. I want to make a difference in someone around you. I want to use you. And the reason I want to pick you is because they were like the disciples. They were uneducated and untrained. But what does Acts tell us? They had been with Jesus. But so many times we're looking at the wrapper, aren't we? And we don't look at what's underneath the wrapper. 1 Samuel 16:7, do not look at the outward, for I have refused him. For I don't see as man sees, for man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. Did you see how this oneness, as we no longer look at the skin color or where we're from or what side of the tracks we live on, but we go look, just like the Jews and the Gentiles here in Ephesians 2, that the reason they came together in one, and that's why Paul is pleading with them, and he's pleading with them, and he's pleading with them, and he's passionate, and you got to remember, he's in prison. He's in prison for the cause that he's willing to die for. Matter of fact, we know there that he's going to be poured out in a drink offering there in 2 Timothy. We know that he's about to be offered up, that Nero is going to behead him. We know he's going to pay the ultimate price, but can you imagine, can you visualize right now, one nanosecond when he passed from this life into the next, can you imagine the reward he got? Do you think Paul, when he stood in the presence of Jesus Christ that one nanosecond after his head was chopped off, do you think Paul looked back and said, man, I wish I would have lived more for myself? And do you think that Jesus, when he ushered in men, do you think Jesus goes, Paul, you took me way too seriously. Well, you should have just dialed this thing back a little bit. Oneness. The unity was always sparked by one man who said, here I am, send me. Just send me. I'll die if I need to. Matter of fact, I'll die to myself off the bat, but I'll die physically if I have to. Don't get to the end of your life, guys, playing it safe. Don't get to the end of your life playing it safe and holding your cards to the vest. Going, well, I can't do this. I know. I think God's leading, but you know, I got to rely on this checkbook and I got to rely on what she says or he says. No, no, no. You push it all in the middle of the table and you allow God, you insist that God will handle the consequences of your obedience to him, period.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
That's why our key number three here in that last part about him breaking down the wall of separation is simply this. Key number three. Jesus did what I could never do on my own, and that is to bring me into right standing with God. Let me say that again. Jesus did what I could never do on my own, and that is to bring me into right standing with God. I love Paul there in Philippians chapter 3, where he says this, and being found in him, Jesus, not having my own righteousness. I mean, here is Paul. I mean, look what Paul did. He's got a pretty good body of work, doesn't he? I mean, when you write the majority of the New Testament, that looks good on a resume, doesn't it? And yet here he is saying, look, you know what? I'm just not the least of the apostles. I'm a chief of sinners. See, that's why humility, guys, don't miss this. Humility will always precede the unity. Let me say that again. Humility will always precede the unity. You guys ever played football or basketball on a team? Anyone in the room here? A couple of us? We got a bunch of non-athletes. Okay, all right, that's okay. That's okay. Praise God. Got a guy in the hallway even raising his hand. Praise God to you too. I'll tell you what, man. Let's just take this out of the context of church or home, but just even team. I mean, you get one rogue player on your team, and you know what he does to your team? He destroys it. But you get a bunch of guys together, you get 53 men on the NFL roster, and they go, you know what? It's not about me, man. This is about the team. This is about the goal, man. We're going to accomplish great things for our team. We're going to do whatever we need to do of self-sacrifice and humility to go make a difference to accomplish our goals. I'll tell you what. Focus on what you got to do. Humble yourself and do your job. Don't worry about being the superstar. This is not about you. This is about we. Humility will always precede the unity. Because without humility, you will never have true biblical unity. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm glad you asked. Here's the verses I want you to write down. Great verses here, right from God's word. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Just listen to the word of God. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. This is God's word. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection of mercy, fulfill my joy, Paul writing, of course, by being what? Like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, comma, of one mind. Now here it is. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let me pause there for a moment. Do you guys know this, that whether it's church, business, team, or home, do you understand this deep biblical principle that the way up in God's economy is actually down? That King Jesus, on the night he was being betrayed, what did he do? John 13. Man, he goes over to those disciples, right? He goes over to them, and he gets down low. He humbles himself, and he humbles himself. He's got a basin of water, and if you know anything about that day, they didn't wear Nikes, and they didn't travel on concrete sidewalks, amen? But they had sandals, and their feet were very filthy, and they were dirty, and it was a lowly, despicable thing to go wash someone's feet. The king that was going to go die on a cross, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. You know what I've learned? I've learned in church work, there's a whole lot of line of people complaining because they're not singing the solo or preaching the sermon. But I've never seen a backlog of the line to go pick up trash in the parking lot. You want unity in your home and your church, and you wonder why things aren't clicking? Could it be that the two are better than one has not bought into the principle that unity will always be preceded by first humility? Matter of fact, this is what Paul goes on and writes. He says this in that same text in Philippians. He goes on in verse 5, and he even says this after all that I just read there. He says these powerful words. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's good stuff, isn't it? Let this mind be in you. He's talking to me. He's talking to you. Fellow pastors in the room today, man, we're not excluded from this. We don't get a pass. Actually, matter of fact, we're going to be held to a higher standard. Man, so many times the people emulate who's leading. And if whose leading's not humble, guess what they emulate? And we wonder why there isn't any unity. No, we got to be humble, guys. Humility in the eyes of the world, I get it. It's negative. I understand this. I get this. But we don't operate according to what the world says. We operate according to what God says. Remember those things called blue laws? Anyone around that had a blue law? Couple? I know it's kind of embarrassing, sorry. But what were blue laws? Do we know? Well, basically, pretty much everything was shut down on Sunday, wasn't it? I mean, sitting on Sunday, you couldn't buy what for sure? I mean, this was like a no-no. Yeah, you could not buy. Did you know what was happening back then? There was such humility and such at least unity going on with inside the church that here's what happened. The church was dictating to the world how they should behave. And the breakdown of the unity now, because there's not humility even inside the church, what's happened now is you got a bunch of rogue people that are praising Jesus on one hand and shooting each other on the other hand. And what happens now? The world is dictating to the church how she should behave. And you know what we're doing inside the church? We're sitting on our hands while the ship fills up with water and we're wondering why it's sinking. Had some friends who went to Canada recently and they said, here's the deal, we're being told in Canada that they're 10 years ahead of us and it's coming our way, spiritually speaking. Europe dead, right? Museums, look at the Spurgeon churches and what have you. Museums, businesses, going Canada's way. I'm telling you, it's coming to America, and that's not a movie title. It is coming to America. We can no longer afford to sit on our hands and pretend like things are okay. Well, we slander our brother because he's not the color we like. Because we slander our brother because he's the color of a president we don't like. Because we slander our brother because he doesn't live where we live. Because we slander our brother because he doesn't talk like we talk. No, through Christ, there is oneness in Christ. And there's only one way to that oneness, and it's through that blood of Jesus Christ. And the way you get there is I have to get out of the way. I have to humble myself. I have to become nothing. I have to make much of Jesus. Because if we don't, we kick against the goads, amen? You know what I love about this thought is that when he made two one, when he reconciled, I love the picture of the veil in the temple. That it tore what? In two, correct? That the veil was torn. That as he, listen closely, as Christ absorbed the punishment of our sin, for he who knew no sin became sin for us, that as he absorbed that, and he absorbed the wrath of God, that propitiation, that satisfying, that appeasement, that God said, this is good. How does God look at something like that and say, this is good? He looks at it because this is good, because it is good, because he saved you and I that place our faith and trust in him. That's a great thing, amen? That atoning work could only been done by perfection. And the atoning work was done by perfection. The atoning work could only be accomplished by perfection. And the atoning work was completed by perfection. Well, I love this thought process here because as Christ absorbed that wrath, as I mentioned, and he satisfied that, here's what happened. We literally, as the veil was torn, I want you to picture this today, guys, for you that may be far off, not saying that you're per se this person or that person. What I am saying is that you don't know Christ. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you went to church all your life. Maybe you've raised the hand, you said the prayer, you did the handstand, and the reality is you're still eternally lost. Please hear my heart today. Don't leave this place today not knowing where you stand with Christ. Don't leave this place today thinking, hey, I'm in, I'm good, when really you're not. Don't leave this place today with question marks. Leave this place today with exclamation marks. Because that veil was torn in two. Can you picture it, guys, with me real quick here? The veil's torn. And you know what happened? We no longer have to go through a human priest. We now go through our great high priest. And when that veil was torn, he split the sea and we walked right through it. That we got a straight shot to the Father. But you have to go through Jesus. Because he himself is our peace. He's made two one. And what's that last part say? Very simply there in 14. That he's broken down the middle wall of separation. That middle wall that was in the temple. They literally had segregation back then. Can you believe it? There were certain places that the Gentiles could and could not go. As a Gentile, I am so glad that there is freedom in Christ. Not freedom to sin. Don't misunderstand. Don't misquote. No. We're freed from sin, and now we no longer desire to sin. That our mind has been transformed, that we put off the old and we put on the new, that therefore that those who are in Christ Jesus are what? A new creation. The old has passed away and all things have become new. God gave us that straight shot through Jesus. And that's why in conclusion here today, God's not waiting for you to take control of your life. Listen closely to my heart on this, please. God's not waiting for you to take control of your life. We just saw that in the video, didn't we? God is not waiting for you to figure your life out. God's not waiting for you, Pastor, to get creative enough to get more people in the door. That's not what he's asking you to do. Do you know what I've learned God is asking me to do and he's asking you today? He's asking you and me to do exactly what he just asked us to do, period. He's asking us to obey him and what he just asked us to do. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to get overly creative. Look, God, what do you want me to do? God, I'm here today. I'm at this men's conference. My life's in shambles. That may be your testimony. You may be here today, and maybe your life is going well, and you're on the mountaintop, and you're just asking God still, what do you want me to do? Every day we get up, we should just be, God, what do you want me to do? My life is no longer my own. I've been bought by the most precious blood that's ever been shed.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.